Jeremiah 6. We'll read just one verse from that passage and then make reference, as time allows, to some of the other aspects that Jeremiah recorded by the direction of the Lord. But Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 is where we want to go. Stand with me, if you would, please, as we read together from this one verse, and let the Lord speak to our hearts as we open our minds and open our hearts to receive from God's word. Let's read together Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Amazing to think a great opportunity being afforded them, information that would change their situation and help them through transformation and reformation with great salvation. And yet they're saying, nope, don't want to do that. I pray God help us when we hear from the word of the Lord and we're blessed in the presence of God and in our fellowship with one another, that we're encouraged to keep going, amen, on the old paths, because that's the good way. And look what you'll find. You'll find rest for your souls. Praise God. And that's what we want to continue to do. We thank God for all the modern inventions, all the great technology, the medical advances. But I'm looking for the old paths, that my soul is going to find my way to that heavenly home. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Jeremiah is one of many prophets, and theologians call his group of particular prophets major, not because of importance, but because of the length of their book. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the books are quite lengthy. The writings that they have contain many chapters. And then there are other prophets who are described as minor, again, not because of limited importance, but because their writing is not as lengthy. However, Jeremiah has another distinction. He is viewed as the weeping prophet, which may seem like quite a strange designation, a strange title attached to his ministry. He represented the Lord to Israel. He heard the voice of God. Thus saith the Lord is a phrase that prophets used fairly consistently. And in the scripture, it appears 414 times. Amazingly, Jeremiah used that phrase, thus saith the Lord, 147 of those times. So more than a third of the times that that phrase was used to draw attention to what was being said and to help the people recognize this is not just the idea of man, this is not just the thought or philosophical wanderings and wonderings of what man could produce, but this is what God says. Jeremiah was young when he was called to be a prophet. He explained to the Lord, I am but a child. But the Lord spoke to him and said, be not afraid, and gave the promise, I am with thee. Moreover, the Bible says the Lord touched his mouth and gave the instructions to Jeremiah, I have put my words in thy mouth. And thank God, Jeremiah was that faithful prophet for more than 40 years, probably closer to 50 years, and different kings that he served and the nation of Israel that he reached out to. Unfortunately, he did have much to weep about. He would look at the spiritual condition of the people of Israel, the people of God, the people who had special heritage and special relationship with God, a heritage that could look at the miraculous work of the Lord, all the way back to deliverance from Egypt, all the way to inhabiting the promised land. the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord described it, and how that indeed they were able to inherit much and receive much. But it was a time of careless indifference. The words forsaken and forgotten appear several times in Jeremiah's writings. And he is quoting the Lord, who is pointing out that the people of God have both forsaken and forgotten the Lord. In Jeremiah 2 and 13, he records the words of the Lord saying, "My people have forsaken me, they've forgotten me. And the fountain of living waters is what they have walked away from." In 2 and 32, he records the Lord saying, "My people have forgotten me." Likewise, in 13:25, "They've forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." We're left to wonder, how could that be? How could there be a transition from what they could receive in God's blessings and decide that they're just going to forsake it, they're just going to forget it, and wander off into falsehood? But again, in 17:13, the fountain of living waters is cited, and the forsaking of that place is gone. In 18, the chapter that we love to turn to and see the prophet visiting the potter's house, and the Lord saying, as they observed the potter making a vessel, and the vessel was marred, and he just remade that. And thank God, we have a God who gives a second chance. It's not every day you find someone give you a second chance, much less a God who will give you a second chance every day. Thank God that that's who we serve and that's who we call upon. But even in that chapter, Jeremiah 18, both the forsaken and the forgotten is mentioned. Cold flowing waters being forsaken, and my people have forgotten me. I hope we never come to that point. I hope we never arrive at that place where we can just feel like, oh, well, forget it. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Forsake that which you've known to be powerful and wonderful and seek out something else that will be less satisfying. Oh, no, thank God for the old paths. I look in the scripture and find the story of Elijah, a prophet who challenged the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He said, "Let the God that answers by fire be God." Now, that's quite a challenge, because he was vastly outnumbered. There were 450 prophets of Baal and one prophet of God that stood there with that challenge. There were 400 other prophets of the groves that were involved in the worship of Baal. But Elijah did not hesitate to issue that challenge, even though he stood as one against all that claimed Baal as their God and all the people who were supposedly worshiping one true God were now involved in this idolatry. And so he allowed them to construct their altar, to put the sacrifice upon it, and to begin to call upon Baal. And indeed they did. "Oh, Baal, hear us." And you can imagine the voices of 450, what a racket that must have been. What a loud noise they must have raised. And the 400 other prophets of the groves joining in, 850 vocal cords giving forth to their cry, "Oh, Baal, hear us." And they leaped upon the altar in their frenzy and in their desire for fire to fall. Elijah mocked them when the prophets mixed their blood with sacrifice. And the Bible says they cut themselves till the blood gushed out. Now that's sincerity. You've got to be sincere to be able to take a lance and a knife to yourself and mix your blood with that of the sacrifice. But sincerity is not the only criteria of finding your place with God. You've got to be sincere about the scripture. You've got to be sincere about the word of God. And thank the Lord, we can escape error and move into truth when we are anchored in the word of the Lord. But they cried aloud. And finally, Elijah have let the morning go by as they called upon their false god, and then he got up. and he stepped forward. There comes a time when the believers have to do that. Amen. We can make a mockery and ridicule some of the thoughts and ideas that are going across our land today and being trumpeted as truths, and this is the way we were made, and this is how creation came about, or things came about, and so on. And we may wonder about how great a faith it would take to believe some of those things when the idea of our God speaking into existence, all that we see by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. Thank the Lord, and we can have that kind of faith and understanding. But there comes a time when the believer has to step forward and begin to do the work of God. Elijah did that. Again, one man, one individual who repaired and rebuilt the altar. By his actions, he was saying, this is where you need to be. This is what you need to come back to. This is the old path that we have been taught and that we've followed for hundreds of years. But now you've gone the way of error. He built an altar in the name of the Lord, the Bible says. 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel were stacked one upon another in the prescribed fashion. A trench was dug around that altar. He put the wood in order. He put the pieces of the sacrifice in place. He had 4 barrels of water poured upon the wood and the sacrifice, and it ran down the stone and into the trench. He said, do it again, 4 more barrels of water poured on. Do it a third time, 4 more barrels. 12 barrels of water, indeed a great sacrifice because it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. But he wanted to make sure there was no claim of trickery. There was no claim of falsehood. There was no jostling of stones and like those guys were trying to do as they jumped upon their altar and made the stones come together, hoping that there would be some kind of small spark that would ignite a small flame, and they could claim, see, our God answered by fire. Elijah was not going to be accused of any kind of charlatanism like that or any kind of trickery. It was soaking wet. And then Elijah prayed. And you can count them. 63 words. That's it. A man of prayer. And he prayed those 63 words, and God answered by fire. It wasn't just a flame like a candle. It wasn't just a little plume of flame and smoke that arose. No, when God's fire fell, it burned the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it evaporated the water. And the people stood there beholding the miracle and the answer to Elijah's prayer. They fell on their faces and they cried out, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Oh, I'm thankful to know today that there will be people who will be changed by the presence of water and blood and fire. Hallelujah. There can come the preaching of repentance. There's the waters of baptism in the precious name of Jesus. There's the fire of the Holy Ghost that can make a difference in people's lives today. We're not going to depart from the old paths. We're not going to go down the road of modern ways. I'm going to hold to the Word of God and know that is what changes people today. Thank God it changed my life over 40 years ago, and I know that power is still available today. Praise God. Amen. The Lord, he is the God. They made that claim, they made that statement. And the Lord was desiring them to come back to the old paths, to be separated and sanctified as they served the Lord. Thank God we can stay with the old paths because that's the way God will bless. Thank the Lord. He wasn't done yet. God also sent rain after 3.5 years. Elijah would declare there's the sound of abundance of rain. And people would probably look from horizon to horizon and recognize there's not a cloud in sight. How in the world can there be rain? The atmospheric conditions are not predicting that. It's not something that we see about to happen. But Elijah prayed. And James records how the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And thank God that was what Elijah did. He sent his servant 7 times to look for a cloud. And finally, on the 7th time, he came with the report, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, let's go. It's going to rain. Oh, thank God for faith. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the old paths. Amen. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he outran Ahab's chariot. Oh, thank God for the power of God that shows up in such incredible ways. Keep the blessing coming by staying on the old paths. Stay on the place that the Lord is going to be there and walk therein. Enoch walked with God, the Bible says. Genesis 5 and 22, also verse 24. Enoch walked with God. You can do that if you want to. You can have fellowship with God if you want to. You can know the blessings of God if you want to. And the Bible says he was not, for God took him. And Hebrews 11 and 5 gives this commentary about the life of Enoch. Thousands of years after Enoch walked with God, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Amen. So many directions and so many pulls that are made upon us to please that and please this and go that direction and so on. But oh, how important to please God. I believe Enoch is a prototype of what's going to happen to the church. Walking with God, and all of a sudden not, because God will take his people home. Praise God. The two on the road to Emmaus, talking about the crucifixion of the Lord. Jesus walked with them, but they didn't know it was him. And they informed him about what happened in Jerusalem. And they said, today is the 3rd day. Somehow there should have been a memory. There should have been a switch that was clicked to help them to understand. The 3rd day? Didn't he say something about the 3rd day? Didn't he promise that he was going to rise on the 3rd day? But they didn't have that faith within them. Ah, thank God they were walking with the one who could give them a scripture study. They were walking with the one who was the Word personified, the Word made flesh. And after they had that scripture study, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, thank God we can have a holy heart burn because of God doing something in our hearts and in our minds and letting us understand that word is powerful. That word will come to pass. That word will not be defeated. The Lord has conquered death and hell and the grave and will bring that power to us as well. Praise God. There's benefits of walking with the Lord. Amos, one of the minor prophets, a shorter book, would ask the question in Amos 3 and 3, a very important question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. Thank God we can walk with the one who is wonderful. The one who is counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. We enjoy that walk with him and know he is there for us. Thank God our young people can have it in their hearts. I'm going to walk with God who is going to help me to walk with the one that he brings into my life all the way to that wedding day. I'm going to walk with him, praise God, and be agreed. Hallelujah. So that he will lead me. He'll order my steps. He'll bring the one into my life that I need to have. and the two will walk together, agreed. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor. Praise God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Thank God we can be yoked with Jesus. We can stay close to Him. We can travel down the road with Him. Hallelujah. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We keep moving forward. Praise God. We're not stagnant. We're not stalemated. We're steadfast in our walk with the Lord. It's good to walk with Him. How in the world could they then come to the conclusion and the decision, we will not walk therein? Preceding verses of that chapter, in particular 13 through 15, show the choices that they made. They were caught up with covetousness. The prophet and the priest dealt falsely. They were not ashamed of their sin. They couldn't even blush anymore. Shame was not a part of their experience. They just went headlong and headstrong into the direction that they desired to go. They forsook the Lord. They forgot God. They decided to follow their ways of sin. But they missed out on the benefits of God's blessings. Oh, God, help us to be careful about our decisions. Amen. Help us to be careful about the direction that we go. The good way. The good way is what the Lord is admonishing us to follow, because it gives rest. You know, there is a way that seems right. The Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I've got to make sure my end is going to be in that heavenly home. I've got to make sure I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I can't just choose any old way and it seems right to me. It seems right to my thinking. It seems right to my friends or whoever else may be trying to influence me. But I've got to make sure I'm following what the Word of God says, because the end is what I've got to keep in mind. Amen. I've got to follow the good way. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'm driving south from Anchorage and I come to what we call the Y, milepost 38, whatever it is, if I turn right and I stay on the highway, I'm not going to end up in Seward. No, I've made the choice. I chose the direction. And if I follow the road to the end, I'm going to be in Homer. If I continue to the left at the place we call the Y, and I follow it on down through, I'm not going to end up in Homer. I've chosen the direction that's going to take me to Seward. And how foolish people today make their choice to go down the broad way, to go through the wide gate, and they think they're going to end up in life everlasting. No, Jesus said, the way is broad. The gate is wide, but it leads to destruction. You've got to make sure you're on the narrow way. You've got to make sure you're going through the straight gate, because that's the way that leads to life everlasting. Oh, God, help us. Amen. The narrow way may not be the popular way. The narrow way may not be the easy way, but it's the choice I make, because I want to end up at that destination. I'm not going to choose one way and hope I end up at another. Oh no, I'm gonna go the way that brings me into the presence of God. I'm gonna go the way that His light shines on my path. Amen. It's a lamp to my feet. Thank God I can know the old paths and hold on to that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He invited us, come unto me. He told the disciples, let the children come unto me. Come unto me, he called, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another place he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for that Jesus was not yet glorified. But oh, thank God, there came that time. There came that day. There came that outpouring, hallelujah, of the Spirit of God. And all believers today can receive it. Praise God. Stand and see. Philip and Nathanael met the Messiah. Philip heard Jesus say, "Follow me." And then Philip went and found Nathanael. He informed him, "We've found him. We've found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write." I like the way they're sticking with the Word of God. I like the way they're holding on to Scripture. They're not going with Greek philosophy. They're not going with Roman government. They're staying with what the Word of God says. "We found him. Moses and the prophets wrote about him. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael's reaction was not one of great enthusiasm. In fact, he had a question in his mind. And he asked Philip, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And thank God, Philip replied, "Come and see." Praise God. Get an experience. Not just an argument, not just a philosophy, not just an opinion. Get an experience with God and know how the Lord would do the work. Praise God. Jesus said, "Nathanael, you're an Israelite without guile." He said, "Do you know me? When Philip encountered you under the fig tree, I saw you." Now his expressions change. Now his question marks stand upright in exclamation points. Yeah, thank God. And the Lord told him, "Thou shalt see greater things." Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord always has more that he offers. He always has more he wants to show you. They walked with Jesus more than 3 years, and they saw wonders and mighty works over and over again. You see, the old paths. We've got to make sure we're committed to walking in those old paths. It's the good way to walk in. You will find rest, and not just rest in the physical sense, not just healing for your physical bodies, but thank God there's rest for your soul. That which medicine cannot touch, that which philosophy cannot minister to, that which man is not able to affect. Thank God the Lord knows how to minister to you in every aspect and every phase of your being. Thank the Lord we can put our trust in him. Remember the Lord, because he won't forget you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The fountain of living waters is what we can refresh ourselves in a time and time again, and know the Lord is going to be there for you. Praise God. One of the greatest, saith the Lord, that Jeremiah could record is in Jeremiah 31 and 34. Saith the Lord, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Oh, thank God. A forgiveness that we find in him, a rest for my soul, the guilt that would weigh me down, the shame and humiliation that would follow me, and the blushing and the embarrassment of actions from our past. Thank God the Lord said, "I'll forgive you, and I'm not going to remember it against you anymore." And twice that phrase, that promise is recorded in the book of Hebrews to emphasize to us today, this is what you receive when you walk in the good way. This is what you're able to find as you continue down the old paths. Stand and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Walk therein and you'll find rest for your souls. And God help us not to be as those who refused, those who rejected, those who turned aside. We're not going to walk therein. How much they missed out on. Oh, God, help us, amen, to stay right in those paths. He leads me, the psalmist wrote. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's where I want to keep walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together today. Notice the action that is contained just in this one verse. Stand, see, ask, walk, find. It's not just something you sit around and twiddle your thumbs and think about. Not just something that's available for debate, philosophical discussion. No, stand and see. Ask for the old paths. Walk therein and find rest for your soul. There's action involved. Amen. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. I'm going to ask you to act on what you've heard in the last 30 minutes or so. I'm going to ask you to act by stepping out into the aisle.